Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Felt okay. Forearm feels great. You know, maybe a little bit rusty, but I kind of grinded with what I had. Kind of went from there.
You know, he's ticked down a little bit here lately, and JJ, you know, and a couple comments have been made me, you know, what do you think about these guys, you know, kind of going backwards a little bit, and they're supposed to. That's probably one of the most impressive things about Jackson Holliday, you know, is how Jackson manages his failure, and that's why a 21-year-old kid is going to be has been so successful and will continue to grow. Those other two kids have the same trait as Jackson. He hung in there. I thought the stuff was good. I thought the misses were big. He ultimately got three outs. Unfortunately, the third out got past the catcher. Kind of a tough night for that. Just really unfortunate right there in that inning.
Very weird season. Just the start of the year got us behind the eight ball, and we had a good little winning streak there for a little bit, and just couldn't get on another one to get us back in the hunt, and just kind of got ourselves in a deep hole that we couldn't get out of at the beginning of the year.
It's Gunnar Henderson, real stud shortstop, talking about the reality of their season, which isn't over yet, so 11 games. But for the first time in 3 years, no playoffs. Orioles were mathematically eliminated yesterday as Houston and Seattle both won as they're battling it out for the AL West championship. But the Orioles, even though they win, they're 10-4 here in September. There's just been too many behind the eight ball situations for them. Started that way. Gunnar, let's not forget, started the season on the IL. Because he got hurt down in spring training. Then the injuries piled up to the point where the next player that plays for the Orioles in the final 11 games will be, what, the 69th guy? Which is one player behind the record from the Marlins for players in a season? Not using that as the sole excuse, but whatever hopes we had, and let's be honest, they weren't real bright. And Nolan, get in here real quick, because we go back to, I don't know, when was it? There was a little uprising there before the All-Star break, I think.
Way before the All-Star. Yeah, I mean, correct, it was that correct. Seattle series.
Yeah, and when you said the Orioles are back. First of all, let me state, I picked the Orioles to go to the World Series. So I'm eating the ultimate turd burger. I mean, they're in last place. And have been for a long, long time. I was hoping they were back. And I was feeling as though they were going to be better. And since the second game of the doubleheader against Boston, May 24th, they have been, 10 games over 500. But they dug themselves such this deep hole. Everybody all right over there? We got breaking news? They dug themselves such this deep hole. They could never get out of it. They just weren't good enough to do so because they've never really had their full complement of players. So, Nolan, we've officially put a bow on the playoff hopes, or a fork, shall we say. Bow is more of a celebratory thing. A fork in the playoff hopes of 25. So, how are you feeling today? I know you've been resigned to the fact they're not making the playoffs. They had that dreadful run back in August, which certainly sealed the deal for them, even though they're playing a lot better. I mean, this Toronto sweep aside, they won, four of their last five series, including against some good teams, and I mean, they're showing a pulse, but man, they've been flatlining for the better part of this season.
I think it's mixed feelings today, because being eliminated from the playoffs, while, you know, this is the reality setting in today, we knew this was coming for a long time. We've been mentally preparing for this, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. We've been resigned to that for a long time. So that's not really the issue. But I say mixed feelings because you're right. They're playing arguably their best brand of baseball here post-trade deadline, which is astonishing considering all the talent that they lost at the trade deadline. And to get guys like Jeremiah Jackson up here, you know, that was an unknown. the knowns in Sam Bisaio and Dylan Beavers for them to produce. And all of this to kind of come together and click. I mean, you could argue that they're pitching the best they have all season here, and for Bradish and Wells to look as good as they have in their return. So I'm mixed because it's so disappointing that the season got to this point and that there's a dozen games left in the year and you're already mathematically eliminated. But they're playing this brand of baseball here as of late that has left me a little more encouraged heading into next year, whereas at one point this season, I just thought it was going to be a complete mess. Nah. I thought they were going to be one of the first teams eliminated in general. They're not. At least four teams ahead of them, I think. Four or five. And I thought that it was going to be pretty doom and gloom going into the offseason. So many tasks ahead, so many needs to fill, and just this complete unknown of how the team is going to gel and play together. But in a small sample size here, you're seeing a glimpse of it, of what this team is capable of.
I've been saying for months, next year, the future's still bright for this team. This is the one-off horrible season. It was unexpected, built by Mike Elias, and he deserves a lot of the blame, especially with the starting pitching for this becoming a reality. But the injuries are real. Westberg's been on the IL multiple times. Kowser missed 2 months. Tyler O'Neill, another mistake. He has been dreadful when he's played, which has been a rare occurrence. But even when Beavers and Bisaio came up, and we talked about it weeks ago, Westberg was still here. Adley was still active. And within, what, 3 days, they both won on the IL? They've never even had that group together looking forward. Mayo had 3 hits. He's finally over the 200 mark, which isn't great, but he hit 2 home runs at Toronto. Kowser's still with the K's. You got to get that going, but he's hitting a bunch of home runs here as of late. Stole his 11th base. There's still an upside, a bright one at that. But as we sit here on September the 17th, and they're mathematically eliminated, we go back to March 17th, nobody saw this coming. And certainly didn't see last place in their future.
No, not at all. I mean, Bob, at the beginning of the season, we were talking about them, and you had them in, you know, World Series. They were World Series contenders.
Oh, odds makers had them as favorites to win the American League East. This is just orange Kool-Aid. But we knew in spring training, looking at the rotation. All right, Eplin's cool. Then Grayson, you know, hit the post after missing the second half of last year. And then he goes down in Florida. We didn't know Morton was going to be as horrible as he was. Sagano was a complete unknown. They were so bad out of the rotation, out of the gate. They just couldn't get it together. I mean, on Easter Sunday, and I was there, you have 23 runs. It was just an amazing thing to watch. Morton finally got it together to the point where he's going to be pitching the playoffs for the Tigers, who are kind of scuffling right now. But they were flawed from the beginning when it came to the rotation. And the Grayson Rodriguez injury out of the gate, totally, because it was Eplin, Rodriguez were 1 and 2, right? Who started opening day? Eplin. Who started day 2?
Morton.
And how did that go? And it all spiraled out of control. Suarez gets hurt in the first series. Westberg gets hurt in the first series. They were slow playing Batista. It was just, in retrospect, or hindsight, looking back at announcing, they didn't really have it
right
to the point they needed to be.
You know what's kind of amazing is, I mean, Bob, and you said it, everybody that we had on, national people, can't believe they're not doing much in the offseason. They haven't addressed
the
pitching.
Rotation,
they haven't done anything with the pitching. What, you know, because when you're GM and, you know, you're in the offseason, and when you're going in, you know, when you start the season, you're feeling pretty good. I answered them. You know, what do you think Elias was? What was his thinking going in?
Were they all in on re-signing Burns and there was no plan B? Yeah. That's kind of what it looked like. But they signed Morton, what, in January?
Mm-hmm.
So they got him, and Eplin was brilliant for them in the second half of last season. And you didn't expect him to hit the IL 3 times over the course of the season. Now what do you do with him, by the way, in this offseason? But when we look at that rotation going into that opener against Toronto, who, by the way, is on fire about to win the American League East, certainly going to the playoffs, even though Bo Bichette's out for the rest of the regular season. All right. Now I get it.
Right.
It's like, come on.
Because you're right. Take yourself back to that moment, the preseason predictions, and fandom aside, we all believe that it was a World Series contender, but that was almost purely off the strength of what we thought the offense was going to be. So when I say angst heading into next year, maybe that's more so with the offense not living up to their true potential, because you could argue, as bad as the pitching was, the inconsistency offensively, the carryover from the second half of last year, might have been what ultimately doomed them in 2025. And, you know, sure, you got to make all these pitching additions. You're completely overhauling your bullpen this winter. But for the most part, your offensive core is going to stay intact. If you want to consider Beavers and Basayo an addition because they weren't here to start this year, okay, that's fine. But still, it's mostly guys that we already know in-house. If they start slow again next year, even if you make pitching additions, it has to be the offense carrying this team. That's the strength of this team. It has to be. Pitching has to be better.
Oh, no
doubt about it. But the offense has to carry this team. That's what we expected to carry them this year.
But again, Kowser missed 2 months. Westberg's hit the shelf 3 times.
Well, I think there's angst with that too.
Yeah. Well, injuries, maybe not
like
to
Westberg
Kowser,
in particular.
Westberg, yeah. Certainly. Now, he got plunked last year, broke his wrist, took a pitch, but sprained ankle, hammy here. The tough turf in Toronto got to him. You know what I mean? In the first series of the game, Gunnar's power decrease is something maybe. I'm not really worried about that per se, but Holiday's ascension into a proven player. I still think the upside for them offensively is incredible. I'm speaking for me, not for Nolan or Vinny or you, the listener. I think the concern is going to be with straightening out the bullpen. Seeing how Perez, what happened to him? Done. Yennier Cano was optioned back to the minors, and he's been terrible all season long. These were two integral parts of two playoff teams back-to-back years and going back to when they hit above 522, and they've been dreadful this year. You made the point about Suarez, talking about him like he was Greg Olson, and he's been a non-factor mainly because of injuries, now with elbow problems. Who knows what his future is going to be at all here with the Orioles. But, yeah, there are a lot of guys you expected to step up in multiple roles who didn't.
Hey, Bob, you know what? One of the positive things, you know, about interviewing GM candidates and stuff, and Al Davis was good at this, and even managers, you learn a lot about your team is what you're going to do, because you have these thoughts. You know, Mike Elias has his thoughts, but you're bringing in all these different people from different org, and you're, you know, interviewing. What do you think of my guy? What do you think of this? You know, and be totally honest with them, and, you know, you're going to be like, really?
But,
you know,
and Elias is pretty much still going to be calling the shots.
No, but I'm saying, but he's going to learn
that.
A lot.
Yeah, he does a sounding board kind of guy.
And right, hopefully the GM hire in the first place can be that. Just the interview process, sure, but then once that new guy gets hired, that additional voice,
right.
Hopefully that's there throughout the entire year, not just an interview.
And before we get to the break, because clock integrity is important, I have faith that David Rubenstein's going to spend money. He said it when they signed Basayo, kind of unprompted. Like, hey, injuries killed us, and we can sign these kind of deals, even though it's relatively cheap if you get where we're coming from. Question is Elias the guy with assistance from the GM? Elias has proven that he can cultivate talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at the dugout last night. They're all mainly dudes he brought in that contributed to that win last night, except for Kramer, who was in the Manny trade with Dan Duquette at the 2018. I don't know. Is he good scouting? Is he good in player development? Sure, I think that's been proven in St. Louis and in Houston. But is he a guy given the blank check?
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
that could go out and make the prudent move. Because if we look at, he gave Laureano 2 years, got your money's worth, traded him to San Diego in a deal that's going to benefit the Orioles, we think, prospect-wise, either here or via the trade route. But the Tyler O'Neill, bad. Bad deal. And if O'Neill would have had a monster year, he would have opted out. That was a strange contract. So call me skeptical in that regard.
And then one other, Bob, we heard it, with the going after pitching, I just don't get it. I mean, it just did not make a lot of sense to me what his game plan was.
That's what we were pretty much talking about from the jump. I mean, here's Charlie Morton. Hey, if he's your fifth starter, great.
Right.
If he's starting your second game, that's a total failure. They were all in on Burns. That failed. And then it didn't seem as though there was a plan.
I know, but we
B, C, D, F. They go down the alphabet.
If Arizona got involved, Bob, it was over. That was the thing with Burns.
Yeah, but nobody expected them to do so. Toronto was about to give him bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just, but my point is, people thinking the Orioles were cheap weren't. Orioles were going to make him the highest paid pitcher, $45 million a year, whatever it was, in the history of baseball. He went home, unfortunately got hurt for the Diamondbacks, who, by the way, are a game and a half out of the last wild card, coming from behind to beat the Giants yesterday. Anyway, we'll get back to that when we come back. You want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. If you want to cry in your beer, your coffee, your latte, whatever the hell you drink on a Wednesday morning, get in here at 410-583-1057. You blaming injuries, you blaming Elias, can't blame Brandon Hyde. He's been gone since the Preakness. But Manzo's been above 500, so does that give him a juice? Hey, the Ravens are taking on the Lions, by the way. Open locker room today, back at practice. Tomorrow, spread's 4.5.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.